Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings once again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we open your word, and we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, thy word, Father, so that we can grow thereby and grow in faith and in trust until, Father, we can walk along that pathway of righteousness, Father, on our way home. Now be with us throughout the remainder of this study, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, this morning, we was in Mark 14, we didn't get to finish it. So we're going to be getting back here. We had finished with verse 52. We're going to be picking up with verse 53. We began here with Jesus before the high priest. You know, they've already picked him up now. He's been more or less arrested. Right now, they got him in front of the high priest. 53. And they led Jesus away. Pardon me. All right. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even unto the palace of the high priest, and sat with the servants, and warmed himself at the fire. Now Peter followed him this far, and he's sitting by the fire. 55. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. Now they're looking for somebody that could witness against him, but they couldn't find any, because really there was nobody that could actually say anything against him truthfully. But we see what they did do. 56. For many bear witness, false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together, because they were lying, so they couldn't even come up with the same story. In 57, and there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. And you see the difference in the witnesses, where they couldn't actually get their stories together. Because you see, as we came through Matthew, and these witnesses, supposed to be witnesses against him, the temple, that was not near what these were saying. Now, 59. But neither so did their witnesses agree together. See, even the word says they couldn't agree with each other. Now, 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of God of the blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. 63. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of 65. And some began to spit on him, to cover his face, to buffet him, and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. You see, this is the kind of treatment and the abuse that our Lord took for you and I. I want you to think about this. And we're just getting started with it here in Mark, the abuse. Now, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out on the porch, and the cock crew. Now, you know, he was told by the Lord that he had denied three times before that cock would crow three times. Well, he's denied him the first time, and the cock has crowed. Now, 69. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said unto Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." 71. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." And the second time, the cock crowed. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said in him, "Before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. But you see, that last one there made the third time that he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And that rooster crowed the second time. Now, we have finished with 14. And we're going to be starting here with 15. We may not get all the way through it, and then again we might. We'll just have to see. Now, 15. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held the consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus, and carried him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Now they took him to Pilate. These religious leaders right now are done with him. They're taking him now to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." In other words, he's done it. You said it. I didn't. You did. Now, three. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Four. Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee? Five. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Because you see, he wasn't being able to understand why the Lord is not making some kind of defense for himself. But he's not saying anything. He's not answering them at all. Now, six. Now at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas. Which lay bound with them that had made insurrections of him, who had committed murder in the insurrections. Now this one had committed murder. Eight. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. Nine. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Ten. For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. They was in envy of him. Pilate knew this. And he was finding nothing wrong with him. And this is why he was trying to get them and their acceptance. But he knew the reason for this. And here 11, but the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews? Thirteen. And they cried out again, crucify him. You see, it wasn't the Romans that convicted him. It was his own. And it was even crying out for the kind of punishment he was to be given. 14. Then Pilate said unto them, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. He took him though first. After they kept calling for him to be crucified, and when Pilate had made up his mind that that's what's going to happen, he took him, and that's when they gave him his beating. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails. There was lace. The straps were laced with pieces of glass and metal to tear the skin. And for most, with 41 licks, meant death. Jesus was given 39. Imagine what his body really looked like after 39 licks with a cat of nine tails. Nine straps. And this was done by Roman soldiers. Now they did do that, but they're not the ones they called for his punishment, nor even his crucifixion. All right. Now, 16. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. Now this crown was made with these thorns. And they put that on his head. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews," mocking. 19. And they smote him on the head with a reed. They was using a reed and hitting this crown that was on his head, driving those thorns into the skin. Can you imagine the pain? Because we don't know how many thorns was in that crown. But we know there's more than just one or two. Now, they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bowed their knees, worshiping him, all in mockery. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. But he took all of this other, even before the cross, for you and I. 21. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus to bear his cross. Because that beating and all he went through, he really didn't have the strength to do it. 22. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. Still, everything being done as mockery and torture. But he wouldn't take it. 24. When they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them for every man should take, dividing his clothing among them, themselves, the guards, nuts. And I want you to stop for just another moment here. When they crucified him, and they nailed him to that cross, we all thought for years, because most of the church has taught it, that they nailed his hands to the cross. That nail didn't go through his hand. That nail was put through, actually, the wrist. And they knew exactly where the nerves and all were. And that's where the nails were put. Think about that. Knowing that as long as he lived on that cross, those pains was going to be right there with him. And his feet then were nailed to the cross. But you know, we are told that our Lord and Savior bled from seven different places. You can count them. His two feet had been nailed to the cross. He was bleeding from them. His two arms nailed to the cross. He bled from them. That's four. The thorns on his head that they had beat on with even a reed. He bled from them. That's five. The stripes on his body, where his flesh had been torn, that's six. And then his side was pierced. And he bled blood and water from that. That's seven places that he had bled from. Couldn't think of anything else to do to him, I don't guess. They run out of anything else to do unto him. Now, 25. And it was the third hour and they crucified him. And the description of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he was. Now, 29. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. When he was telling them about the temple being destroyed and not one stone left upon another, he didn't say he was going to do it. And he sure didn't say he was going to tear it down. And he didn't say that he was going to build it back without his hands. Because he wasn't even talking with that part about that building at all. He was talking about this fleshly temple. And we know that in 3 days he done exactly what he said he'd do, because he arose. Now, 31. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. 32. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe, and they that were crucified with him revealed him also. 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over all the whole land until the ninth hour. Now, 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you see, he had all of our sins, sicknesses, and diseases there with him on the cross. And the Father couldn't look upon him. He hadn't forsaken him, but he couldn't look upon him. Now, in my study Bible for that passage there, 34, about his cry, it says this, Mark preserves the Aramaic form of Jesus' outcry, which called Psalms 22:1 to mind. Some mistook his words, even in the midst of bearing God's wrath for sin. Now, Jesus still calls him my God. His agony does not overcome his faith. And we know that to be true. What about you and I? Is your faith strong enough? That for you to go through death, are you still going to be strong enough to know that He is your God? And you're still trusting Him. Okay, now, 35. And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, "Behold, he calleth Elijah." And one ran and filled his sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And he wasn't calling for Elijah to start with. 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. 38. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when, 39, and when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." This Roman centurion, this soldier, spoke for him. And made the statement that truly this man was the Son of God. 40. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and of Jose and Solomon. 41. Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. They were all there witnessing his crucifixion. Now, 42. And now, when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. 43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pharaoh, unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. He's asking Pilate for Jesus' body. 44. Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. 45. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. 46. And he brought fine linen and took him down, wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. 47. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Jose, beheld where he was laid. We have now reached the end of chapter 15. We will be stopping here before going in to the last chapter of Mark. God willing, we will be finishing with 16 tomorrow because it's not that long. We'll probably be getting into Luke. There's 20 verses to 16. I'm not going there this evening. But I want you all to think about our study this evening. To think about the mockery, pain, and torment he went through even before his crucifixion. And then think about all of the hours that he was there hanging on that cross with the pain of those nails and the crown on his head, and taken so long for him to finally give up the ghost. And he did all of that for you and I to be able to have a way to make it through this life here on this earth with a lot more peace in our hearts. We'd travel that pathway of righteousness in making heaven our home to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God, serving them throughout eternity, where there's never any more sorrow, no more pain. That is all gone and past. No more crying. No. Think about that. And yet we have so many out here that are willing to trade small stuff of this world for just a few short moments. We call them years. But according and with God and his time, it's not even seconds that you're willing to trade for your soul to be in hell instead of going home to be with Jesus. What do you think? Is it worth it? Is it really worth it to you that you're going to spend eternity in hell, in that lake of fire, where the pain will never end, never, and never no way out of it? It wouldn't matter how much you cry, how much you beg, it's too late. Think about that. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we close your word now. We thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for Israel, for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that one day Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, Holy Spirit, keep them in health. Keep them safe. And to take care of their needs. And this land of ours, the land that turned its back upon my Lord and Savior. No excuse whatsoever. Just the evil that is in the hearts of some of our leaders in the government and in our churches. Father, I am praying and asking that they be removed from office and be replaced with ones that are yours, that are walking in righteousness, that will work with us, Father, to bring about a repentance of this land of ours so it can be healed. And that our government be put back upon the foundation that it was founded on, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for all that is part of this ministry, that joins us to listen and to study your word. Pray for each one of them, Father. From all stand healed and stand strong with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, McKinney Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, for Amy, for her husband, Tom, and her son, Jacob, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for myself, my wife, and all of our families, because we all have family members that are walking in darkness. And Father, I lift up our children, our grandchildren, and those of us that have great-grandchildren. May the Holy Spirit work within all. We pray that they come to a realization that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, and that they will go to Him and confess and repent of their sins and start walking on that straight and narrow pathway. Study in thy word to make a way for them also to be at home in heaven, that none be lost. Now, Father, as the evening is growing short, and as we separate. Keep us all safe, Father, in whatever it is we have yet to do. And may we all, Father, talk with you more this evening and tonight. Always looking to your kingdom for our lives, Father. Now, Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Bring us back together again in the morning, Father, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and back into your word. Once again, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. I pray y'all have a good evening and a great night. And I pray that God will have us all back together again come morning. Have a great one now. Good night, all.